In the epistle for the second Sunday after Epiphany, taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12. Brethren, we have gifts differing according to the grace that has been given us, such as prophecy to be used according to the proportion of faith, or ministry in ministering, or he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhorting, he who gives in simplicity, he who presides with carefulness, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without pretense. Hate what is evil, hold to what is good. Love one another with fraternal charity, anticipating one another with honor. Be not slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. Be patient in tribulation, persevering in prayer. Share the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of one mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but condescend to the lowly. And then the gospel is taken that according to St. John, chapter 2. At that time, a wedding took place at Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now Jesus, too, was invited to the marriage, and also his disciples. And the wine having run short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "What wouldst thou have me do, woman? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the attendants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now 6 stone water jars were placed there after the Jewish manner of purification, each holding 2 or 3 measures. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them to the brim. And Jesus said to them, "Draw out now and take to the chief steward." And they took it to him. And when the chief steward had tasted the water after it had become wine, not knowing whence it was, though the attendants who had drawn the water knew, the chief steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man at first sets forth the good wine, and when they have drunk freely, then that which is poorer. But thou hast kept the good wine until now." This first of his signs Jesus worked at Cana of Galilee, and he manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So then, today the consideration on the first Sunday per annum of the year, the first Sunday of the annual cycle. We have this is Sunday after Epiphany, and then later on the Sundays after Pentecost. And on this first Sunday of the entire annual cycle, the per annum, the gospel is on the changing of the marriage from a natural state, which was created by God in the beginning, to a supernatural state. And the institution of the marriage as a sacrament. And Jesus Christ began his ministry instituting marriage as a sacrament. It was the first thing that he did. The very first miracle he performs is at the wedding feast of Cana. And also, this miracle is performed with a view of going to the crucifixion. And so that when the Blessed Virgin Mary says to him, "They have no wine," he responds, "Woman, what is that to me and to thee? My hour is not yet come, the hour of my death, the hour that I'm going to die for the sins of men." And so at this marriage feast, we have the celebration of the sacrament of marriage, but also Christ states clearly that he is going to fulfill his work of redemption. And he announces that he is going to fulfill his work by performing this first miracle at the request of his mother. And so we see that there's going to be a crucifixion and there's going to be redemption. So the announcement of the redemption, the public announcement, the first announcement of it by Jesus Christ himself happens at the marriage feast of Cana, at the marriage. So the first announcement of the act of redemption happens at this institution of marriage. And then also the first miracle that he performs in the sight of his apostles. His apostles begin to find their vocation today, so that they will see that Jesus Christ is a miracle worker and that he is from God. And they learn that he is from God when he institutes marriage. And so there are many hidden truths, and everything we need to know about the supernatural aspects of marriage can be found in this gospel. Its history, what makes it tick in the supernatural marriage, what are the results of a good marriage. The apostles are going to be priests and bishops and the first pope. And they begin their vocation in this marriage feast. And so vocations come from marriage. The hope of redemption comes from marriage. We are able to be saved because a mother and father bring their children to the priest and have that child baptized. And the child then is able to be raised as a Catholic and live the faith and be able to become a priest or to be married himself. And so that the faith continues through marriage. Vocations come through marriage. And all these things can be seen. And then the life, the Catholic life, is explained in marriage. And the supernatural act of, this supernatural blessing of marriage that our Lord Jesus Christ does here at the wedding feast of Cana. And the supernatural blessing of it, he is speaking for the first time explicitly himself about the cross, which St. Paul will say later is the sacred mystery and centerpiece of the mystery of marriage. He says, it is a great mystery, but I say in Christ and in the church. And he explains in the Corinthians that the church is the body of Christ, and particularly the body of Christ hanging upon the cross. That there are children that come to this church. There is a fruit, there is a living fruit of this church, and it comes from the cross. And the priest tells the married couple on the day of their marriage that when you are going to rest the bond of your married life on self-sacrifice. And if you rest your married life on self-sacrifice, then God will bless your marriage, and there will come great fruit. The fruit of children who are going to grow in virtue and be good Catholics. And what caused the miracle? This wedding feast in the East, they're very strict about who comes to the marriage feast because it used to go on for 8 days. And they had much preparation and invitations and so on. At this particular wedding feast, they ran out of wine. Why? Because there were uninvited guests who were welcomed into the feast. Jesus Christ was supposed to come because he came with his mother. But his apostles were not supposed to come. They were not invited to the feast. But since Christ came to the feast, he was not going to come without bringing his 12 apostles. As Bishop Sheen says, they ran out of wine because there were 12 fishermen. That's the reason why they ran out of wine. They had prepared everything, but the fishermen came and they drank freely. And there was not sufficient wine for that reason. And here, we can see a great, if you want vocations in your marriage or from your marriage, they cannot come without the spirit of generosity and charity. God will not bless every marriage with vocations, but he will bless every marriage with vocations which lives the spirit of charity and generosity, to give freely wine to those who are not invited and whom you do not know. If the apostles were not there, they would not have run out of wine. Had they not run out of wine, there would have been no miracle. And furthermore, what comes from charity in marriage, charity to indigents, charity to extended family, charity to those outside of your individual household as being the norm of your life. At the end of the marriage ceremony, there are blessings that we're not required to say, but which can be said. And one of the blessings is that may you be generous to all those who come to you in need, both in joy and in sorrow. May the unfortunate find home in your house. And that this is what the church asks of marriage, because marriage is the cross. And it is not only the cross of a husband sacrificing for his wife, or the wife sacrificing for her husband, or the parents sacrificing for their children. It must extend beyond that if it is going to be a marriage like unto Christ and His church. Marriage is meant to be a supernatural union between Catholics. And the real proof that it is a supernatural union is not sacrificing yourself for your children, but sacrificing yourself for something larger, the church, those on the outside, the indigents, anyone that is in need. This spirit, if it is a spirit in the marriage, will produce apostles and will bring about miracles. So many miracles will come in the life of a family that lives according to the secret teaching inside of the gospel today about what marriage is supposed to be. And then there is another practical point about marriage. Most drink the good wine at the beginning, and then after they have drunk freely, then they put out the poor stuff. And that's the way it is in most marriages. How many husbands and wives tolerate each other, still claim they love each other, stay together until death, but they do not deepen in love as they should? Whatever good wine they had in their marriage was there in the beginning. They find sadness in their lives after their children have gone. They find a diminishing of happiness. But if charity is the rule of the marriage, and they give out all the wine they have, not preparing, so to speak, for their future, but it is the wine of charity, then the good wine, the water that will be turned into wine, and the good wine will be at the end. In other words, the greatest joys of marriage will come at the end. Marriage will grow. The joy of husband and wife will grow if it's a supernatural marriage. There will always be trials, but these trials will lay the foundations for greater victories. Even the sins committed in marriage, when they are overcome, when they are combated, when they are forgiven, they will lead to good wine. You have saved the good wine until now. Look around you, the people you know. How many older couples really are seen to be immersed in the spirit of childlikeness and joy? Very few. But if there is a living of the supernatural life in marriage, particularly shown by the giving of our necessities, the giving of the things that we have to those who are outside of our immediate family, there is too much said of the fulfillment of our duties only, and I have to be responsible for my family and for myself. Too much is said of that. In the Catholic marriage, there is charity, because that is the union between Christ and His church. That's what St. Paul says when he says it is a great mystery. But I say in Christ and the church, Christ dies for His enemies. The church goes out and converts its enemies. The church sacrifices, do good to those that hate you, as it says everywhere in the gospel. Bless those who persecute you, says St. Paul in the epistle today. Bless and curse not. How many marriages are filled with curses? Cursing has no place in marriage. And I don't mean taking the name of God in vain or saying bad words. I mean thinking evil and wishing evil on those who have harmed you, and then taking steps to get revenge. These things happen often, and they have no place in the marriage that Christ blessed at the marriage feast at Cana. And then where does this marriage begin? Where do the miracles begin in the marriage? How are things kept in peace? Because of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is the one that will be the glue that holds a marriage and a family together and makes it truly supernatural. She is the one that makes sure that no one is upset when those apostles come. She would have come and spoke to the marriage, to the chief steward, and to the one in charge of the chief steward, and say, well, these men are coming. And of course, you knew they were coming. Everything is fine. Don't worry about it. Everything will be fine. Made things, smooth things over. And then she spoke to the son and said, they have no wine. She spoke to the stewards and made sure that they did whatever he told them. She simply arranged that everything should be peaceful in this marriage feast, and everything would come out good. In fact, would come out better than anyone could imagine. It is the Blessed Virgin that is going to be the true secret defense of marriage, supernatural marriage. She will make sure that when marriage is being lived in a supernatural way, when a family is living in a supernatural way, not only the father and the mother, but also the children, that there is not wrath in the marriage. There may be fights from time to time because of our original sin, but there will not be wrath. There will not be anger. There will not be bitterness. The spirit of joy will live inside of the Catholic home. So if you want to meditate upon the gospel today in which Christ turns the natural union of marriage into something infinitely more beautiful and supernatural, there's one simple rule. Do whatever he tells you. This is what must be in the mind of a husband and father and in the mind of a wife and mother. Do whatever he tells you. What is going to be the guiding principle of all the choices that I make in life? It is going to be, I'm going to do whatever he says. And if he says put water in a wine pot, and if he tells me to take water and give it to someone and tell them it's wine, I will do it. Even if it makes no sense, I will do whatever he tells me, no matter what it is. And if he guides me to go in this direction or that, to stay here or go there, I will go or I will stay. I will act according to what he says, regardless of what it is. And this is the guiding principle. And then as Bishop Sheen says in his commentaries on marriage, unless Christ be between you, you will always be apart. Unless Christ be between you, you will always be apart. Because Christ is the glue that holds a man and woman together. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. God is the one that joins. Christ is the one that joins. And when he is removed from the middle between the man and the wife, when he's no longer more important than the husband to the wife, no longer more important to the wife than the husband, then they will fall apart. There is something more important in supernatural marriage than a man and a wife and their children. Something bigger, something of greater value, and that is Jesus Christ and his will, the means of spreading his kingdom. And so, do whatever he tells you will be the guiding principle of a Catholic marriage. And remember also in this age of contraception, the basic law of marriage, which is that marriage is for children. Marriage is for children. Contraception, attempting to not have children or space children, will be greatly punished by God. Bishop Sheen argues that though this kind of thing is not the greatest of sins, it will receive in many the greatest of punishment because of its consequences. Souls that will not be praising God because of your choices. Priests that were never born. As Padre Pio pointed out, in his famous one of his famous confessions, a pope who was going to reform the church who was never born because his mother had an abortion, aborted him. And instead, we had Vatican II. If only we knew the consequences of these choices, we would not allow that sin to come into marriage. It shows a great lack of faith, which is spitting in the face of God. Do you believe that God will take care of you and your family or not? Are you willing to do whatever He tells you or not? Do you really believe the truths of the Catholic faith or not? And the proof is in the pudding. What do you do? If you are afraid of having another child because you can't afford it, because you can't emotionally take it, because you're not prepared, then you spit in the face of God. And He will not take that spitting lightly. You get married, and you refuse its goal. You want blessings, but you refuse to do that which is going to bring blessings. And then you wonder why they do not come. Why is it that many parents are alone in their old age? Because the child that would take care of them, they aborted or they contracepted. They did not have. And so they have no one to blame for their loneliness except themselves. And so let's be sure that this sin does not enter into our Catholic marriages. We need to have faith. And that we need to realize that even if it appears that there is nothing of any material value, the most worthless thing that used to be free until recently is water. And yet somehow He will turn it into the greatest of wine. And He will do it in every marriage in which Christ is the centerpiece, in which there is a devotion to Mary. In every marriage that has Christ as the center and devotion to Mary, there will be good wine. And if Christ is not the centerpiece, and Mary is not the devoted to, then there will be vinegar and bitterness and gall. The gall of asps, as it says in the book of Deuteronomy. The gall of asps, the gall of snakes to drink, followed by eternal damnation. Let's live the supernatural marriage. And make sure that the charity extends outward and not only inward. No closer to that. God bless you all. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.